Welcome to Sightseeing Japan, the podcast where we explore the land of classic luxury. I'm Paul Brasson.
And I'm Jason Kneeling. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Jason.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. Me too.
I bet you are, because it's freaking storming like crazy outside, and you always love that.
There's a little more light coming in through the window than I would prefer. Yeah. I don't hear any thunder at the moment.
But, still pretty windy out there.
Yeah. Maybe we can go for a walk through the storm after this. What do you think?
I didn't bring my raincoat.
I got umbrellas. Well, but if it's pretty windy too. We'll see. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Anyway, got a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on an overnight train? Like, not even just in Japan, but anywhere in the world?
No.
Hmm.
I mean, I've hardly ever ridden a train outside of Japan, Jason.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess now that I think of it, well, I've ridden a bunch of trains in the U.S. Like, I lived in Boston. I took a train every day.
Sure. I took train a couple times when I visited you in Boston.
Yeah?
I took the train. I took the subway twice in all my time in L.A., maybe.
You did? I don't think I ever took the subway in L.A.
When I had jury duty.
Oh.
I take the light rail here from time to time.
Oh yeah, me too.
But
there's a bunch of trains.
But I don't take like any extended train rides.
Yeah, they're kind of a different class of train, right?
Yeah.
Most of those.
Yeah. What about you?
I had the pleasure of taking an overnight train from Aomori to Sapporo back in 2015. It was called the Hamanasu. It's a 7.5 hour trip, and it was really fun. Yi and I did it together, and it was great. We didn't book it early enough to get in the actual sleeper cars, though, like the ones with the beds or the carpet. We just had, like, reclining seats.
Okay.
But, you know, I had my earplugs, I had my sleep mask. It was reasonably comfortable. I slept through the night, and it was really convenient. Like, I'm pretty sure it was covered by the JR Pass, so we didn't have to get a hotel for the night, saved a little bit of money that way. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was just... It was a cool experience, you know. I was excited to be able to do that.
Paying transportation and hotel all in one is nice.
Yeah. And looking back, like, I didn't even realize how lucky I was because the Hamanasu was shut down the very next year in 2016.
Right. When the Shinkansen opened.
Yeah. I didn't realize this until doing the research for this episode, but after the Hamanasu shut down, that left only one remaining regularly running overnight train in all of Japan.
Yeah.
There are other ones that you can sleep on, but they're not... The other ones aren't about like getting from one place to another. It's more about the experience of being on the train, right?
Yep.
They're like train cruises with excursions and stuff. But all the like normal overnight trains disappeared and I didn't even notice. I wasn't paying attention. And I'm kind of sad about that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard to keep an overnight train going when you can... Do it in a 3 hour Shinkansen ride for almost the same price.
Yeah. I mean, it's the onward march of technology. You know, the trains get faster and faster. There's just no reason for the overnight trains to exist anymore. But it's also like there's a tradition there. There's like a piece of the culture that's kind of fading away. And that stuff always makes me a little sad, you know?
Yeah. But it brings new culture with it.
That's true. I am excited for those maglev trains.
Yeah, right. There's also more air travel and affordable airplane tickets you can get as well for some of the longer trips.
So what about sightseeing trains? Have you been on any of those?
No. There's that one in Duluth. I just never been on it.
I don't know about the one in Duluth.
It's like, I can't remember the name, North Star Express or something. It just runs north out of Duluth for a while and then comes back right along the coast of Lake Superior.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it's supposed to be really nice.
First thing that comes to mind for me is I went to Alaska with my family.
Oh.
And we did this train through the tundra. It was really cool. It just like amazing sights. Have you been to Alaska?
No.
It's pretty impressive. The glaciers and stuff.
The mountains seem cool, but otherwise I'm like, man, I live in Minnesota. Like it's cold enough. If I want to see mountains, I'll go to somewhere less cold.
I guess.
But everything I've heard about Alaska is outstanding.
Yeah, it's really cool. But as for Japan, I don't know if I've ever been on a train that was like specifically advertised as a sightseeing train, but I would kind of argue that pretty much any above ground train in Japan, you're going to see some pretty cool sights, you know?
Yeah, like the train to Nikko comes to mind. You know, that kind of wound through a lot of forest and up into the hills.
Sure. I mean, I just always like looking out the window. You know what came to my mind, actually? The very first time I went to Japan, I flew into Narita Airport, which meant I had to get into Tokyo.
Yeah.
And I took the Narita Express. And I remember, like, you know, you're seeing the fields and stuff out at the beginning of the trip. And then when you get into the city, all of a sudden, you know, you're in the biggest city in the world and you're seeing all the lights and you're seeing all the people and all the other train lines and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember getting super excited seeing that and just being like, I'm finally here. Like, it's happening. You
That's
know?
A pretty cool first taste of Japan.
Yeah, definitely. But today we're going to talk about some really incredible trains where the main focus is sightseeing. And some of them are just ridiculously luxurious.
Yes.
And I want to mention that this episode topic was the result of our Patreon poll. So thank you very much to all of our patrons for selecting this topic, because I have learned a ton. I was really not aware of most of these amazing trains, and I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah. Check out our Patreon if you want early access to our episodes, or if you want to be here for the vote on the topic for next season, which probably won't be for a little while yet, but will eventually come.
Mm-hmm. Got a bunch of exclusive content on the Patreon too, bonus episodes and little videos and behind the scenes and whatnot.
Well, should we dive in, Jason?
Let's do it. Should we start with overnight trains? Get it out of the way since there's really only one.
Yeah, let's start with the overnight train. We're talking about the Sunrise Express.
Yeah. Technically, you could call it two trains.
Yeah, you could.
But most of the time, they're one train. It's basically two trains that are linked together for most of the time, most of their trips.
Yeah. They split off at the end for two final destinations.
Yeah. Or they join up at the beginning, depending on which direction you're going, right, Paul?
True.
But yeah, as a pair, they're known as the Sunrise Express. So there's the Sunrise Seto, which runs between Tokyo and Takamatsu. Takamatsu is on the island of Shikoku, just south of Okayama. And then the other half of the train is the Sunrise Izumo, which runs between Tokyo and Izumo, which is on the Sea of Japan side of the country, kind of north of Hiroshima, that area.
So speaking of which, you know, I know we've talked about going to more rural places in Japan, maybe the Tottori sand dunes.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, it's really hard to get over there, right? There's no Shinkansen, there's no major cities. This actually might be one of the best ways to get over there.
Dude, you told me I had the privilege of planning our next trip together.
Yeah.
I was totally thinking we fly into Tokyo, we get on the Sunrise Express and go up to Tottori, do some sand surfing.
Yeah. I'd be super happy with that.
Nice.
After researching this, I'm like, that actually sounds like a way I want to travel. Otherwise, it's like a 5-hour train ride that takes you all day. And that's even from like already being close to there.
Yeah. So let me just get a little more specific about the route. The train, if you're going from Tokyo, it starts in Tokyo, it goes to Okayama. That's where the trains split and go. One goes north, one goes south. And then obviously both of them can go the opposite direction too if you want to go back to Tokyo. That's how it works. So these trains look super cool. I watched some videos and stuff, looked at all the pictures. There are several different types of accommodations, right? Like they're not all the same type of bed.
Yeah. You could rent private cabins, and there even were different levels of private cabins. You could rent a little small one. You could rent a bigger one, but you can also get general fare.
I saw like the little, they call it a private room, but it looks like just barely bigger than a capsule hotel. There's more headroom, but it's really just like you open the door and it's just the bed and you just slide in there.
Yeah.
But what I did think was really cool about that is there's like a big window right next to you. Can you imagine like laying down, getting ready to go to sleep, and just as you're laying there, you're just looking right out the window, watching the scenery go by. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Everyone seemed to really enjoy it. The one complaint I saw was that the train makes stops up until about midnight and then starts making stops again at around 4 a.m. or something, so it makes the train announcements. So if you're a light sleeper, it's going to stop at 4 something a.m. and go, ding, now arriving at whatever station. So it could interrupt your sleep a little bit.
Huh. I mean, I saw there's a pretty long stretch there in the middle where they don't stop anywhere. Like, they go through Kyoto and Nagoya, but they don't stop there because it would be in the middle of the night, and that would annoy people with the announcements.
I looked at the timetable of, like, where it stops, and it looked like there was about a four-hour gap of it stopping anywhere between, like, midnight and 4 a.m.-ish.
I see. Did you see the bunk beds?
Yeah.
Like, if you were a couple, you could be sleeping one on top of the other.
Yeah.
And that saves a little bit of money, too. And the private rooms come with a yukata. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Walking around the train in your yukata. Did you see the Nobi Nobi area?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I think they had that type of thing on the Hamanasu that I took too, but they were all booked up. And I also heard that on the Sunrise Express, those are like the most popular ones because you do get to lay down, but it's cheaper than the private little cabin things.
Yeah. So can you describe like what those are?
Yeah. They're unusual. It's like, so you walk into the car, you're going to see like the aisle down the middle, and on both sides, it's kind of like just a raised carpeted area, and there are going to be a bunch of people like laying down to sleep on the carpet, and the only thing dividing you from the person next to you is like a little wooden thing kind of next to your head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of like a shared sleeping area, but you all have like a little kind of nook to yourselves.
I would need my noise-canceling headphones. I mean, even just one person in that car snoring, that would ruin it for me, you know?
I'd be okay as long as someone wasn't snoring really loud.
Yeah.
But the private cabins look really cool with the windows. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. There are showers on the train, too. You can shower in the morning.
Yeah.
If you get a shower card.
Yeah, I've heard the shower cards can sell out, though, so you gotta go swipe one of those right away.
Yeah. Limited time to use those because there aren't a ton of showers.
Yeah.
It's just like a couple of them, I think.
Yeah, they've only got so much water, probably.
Yeah. There are also these mini lounges.
Yeah. Those spots you can stop and eat.
That looks fun. Like, they got seats looking out these big windows.
Yeah.
Watch the scenery go by. I bet between Okayama and Izumo, that's a pretty rural, nature-y part, I think. It's probably real pretty up there. They have vending machines on the train, too.
Yeah.
Just selling beverages. They don't sell food at the vending machines, but
There is not luggage compartments, so you do have to like keep your luggage with you wherever you are, or stash it in your private cabin if you spring for one.
So I was kind of thinking maybe we would mention what types of itineraries this might be a good train for.
Okay.
We already mentioned like you could go up to Tottori, get up to the north edge of Japan up there. That'd be really cool. I mentioned that the train doesn't stop at Kyoto or Nagoya, even though it travels through there.
Yeah.
However, on the way back to Tokyo, it does stop in Osaka, if you were going that direction.
Yeah. I think it stops in Himeji.
That's the first stop in the morning,
okay,
isn't it?
Yeah, it might
be. Yeah, the first morning stop is Himeji. So, like, I'm thinking if you wanted to get right past Kyoto, maybe you've already seen Kyoto and you want to get just further out there, this might be a good way to do that. Maybe you wanted to get down to Hiroshima.
Did you notice, Jason, that the Seto line that splits off south stops in Kojima?
I did. And I do really want to make it back to Jean Street one of these days. You know, a little aside here, I was looking into jeans recently. I always feel like I want to buy more jeans, you know?
Yeah.
And I was distressed to find that I feel like we're past the peak of Japanese denim as a popular fashion movement, you know?
Yeah.
It's harder to find stuff just in general. I feel like I had some trouble finding like any jeans in my size that were available. They're not making quite as many now.
That's too bad.
So I need to go back to Jean Street.
You got
to
buy them all while you can, dude.
Right.
You're never going to have another chance.
I may as well just buy every size in case I get fat someday.
You need to buy enough jeans for life.
Yeah. I can pass them down and tell the legend of these amazing jeans. Anyway. Back to the train. See, I could have used this to get to Onomichi to do the Shimanami Kaido. That would be cool.
Okay.
You could get into Shikoku real quick. I liked Takamatsu a lot. This train would be a great way to get there. I should have done that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to also mention that you should probably book these in advance if you want to take it. They're popular trains, and you can book up to a month in advance. either online or at a JR ticket counter or ticket machine.
Yeah, definitely book it in advance if you're planning to do this as a overnight and you don't have a hotel.
Yeah. Okay, Paul, let's move on to the next category. These ones, technically, you could call them overnight trains because you do sleep on them overnight. However, they're also sightseeing trains because these ones aren't about getting from point A to point B. These are about the journey.
Yes.
Would you call these like train cruises? Like I was imagining it, it's just like a cruise ship. It's just on a train, basically.
I think that's a great way to describe it. Like luxury cruise trains.
Yeah. And I wanted to warn everybody right at the beginning here. These are extremely exclusive and expensive. I'm sure they're worth every penny, but oh my goodness.
Yeah. Every single one of these is like multiple $1,000s per night.
Is it per night? Per trip. Each trip was like a few nights.
Yeah, but each trip was like... It's hard to know with exchange rates and stuff, but the trips were like pushing $5,000+
for most of them. We'll say at least $1,000 a night.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And hard to book. There's waiting lists for a lot of these. You need to get into a lottery maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
They've been extremely popular.
Yes.
Everyone's just waiting to blow all their money on these things. But I can see why.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you if you would be willing to do one of these, but we'll wait. We'll go through them first, and then I'll ask you that. How about that?
Sounds good.
Should we start with the Seven Stars in Kyushu?
Yes.
Why is it called the Seven Stars? Do you know?
I do. It's in reference to the seven prefectures of Kyushu and also the seven lauded aspects of the region.
There are also seven cars on the train.
Lots of sevens.
Yep. They call this a deluxe sleeping car excursion train. And this might be the fanciest train I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about some other fancy ones. It's debatable between them, but I liked this one most, I think.
Yeah. It's really a throwback. It's modern, but it reminds me, like, think of those trains from, like, 1900, where, like, the richest people in the world were traveling on trains, and they had these extraordinarily luxurious dining cars, ample space. It's kind of come all the way back to that.
Yeah. It made me think Orient Express. I even looked up pictures of the Orient Express. I'm like, yeah, this looks pretty similar to that.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. You could imagine like the Titanic, you know, the fanciest rooms on the Titanic. It's like that kind of vibe, right?
Yeah.
Lots exactly. of wood, intricate carvings, just ultra classy.
Yes. Beautiful windows everywhere to give you great views.
Mm-hmm. So they have 2-day and 4-day itineraries. They stop in different parts of Kyushu, so you can do some sightseeing. Did you look into the specific trips that they take, Paul?
A bit. I didn't get all the details.
I wasn't going to list too much, but there were a few things that stuck out that just looked really fun. Like I mentioned, they got excursions, you know, like on a cruise. On the 4-day trip, you can take a ferry sea cruise. You can stop at an onsen. One night, they even stop at a ryokan, so you can stay there and get that experience. On the 2-day trip, you get to ride around Oita Prefecture and Mount Aso, Japan's yep. largest active volcano. Like, this is really about getting you a sense of what the island of Kyushu is all about in as short a time as possible, I feel like. And in as luxurious of a setting as possible, you know?
I saw one video where they stopped and picked up geisha who came onto the train.
Whoa.
And served and entertained all the guests for a night.
Man. This is like, I don't want to oversell it, but this seems kind of like the ultimate Japan experience. Like, if you want the classiest stuff, you want all of the best experiences and have it all like prepackaged for you, this is a pretty good way to do it.
I respect when you're actually getting extraordinarily value for a really expensive price tag.
Yeah.
I've heard people joking too, like this thing's called the Seven Stars, like, you know, 5-star hotel. People are like, this is the first 7-star train service. Like, that's how good it is.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I wasn't sure, like, I was getting the sense with a lot of these trains, they might not be doing the exact same thing every year. Like, it seemed like they kind of change up their itineraries to keep things fresh.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. But even on the train itself, the train isn't going to change much, but that's also an incredible experience. Can we talk about some of the rooms on this train?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So the rooms that you're actually staying in look like just extremely luxurious hotel rooms. Like, again, with the style like the Orient Express, you know, it's just like, ah, it's crazy. It's so crazy. Tons of space. You get your own bathroom. I'm pretty sure you control your own AC in your little suite.
You have European-style beds for you to sleep on.
Yeah. Huge viewing windows. It does have kind of a traditional Japanese vibe, right?
Yeah.
Not like tatami mats necessarily, but just like in the woodwork and stuff. It's like, okay, I can see the Japanese influence there, right?
Yeah. I actually saw a little video. All the woodwork is handmade, hand-carved. Local artisans in Kyushu are like steaming and bending the wood to make all these intricate designs that completely cover the insides of these cars.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the lounge car?
Yeah.
They call it a saloon on wheels. There's live music in there, Paul. They got a grand piano on a train. There's a salon car. There's a tea room with tatami mats. There are tatami mats on the train. There's a bar. What do you know about the dining car?
You mean the Jupiter dining car?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. They pride themselves on their service. And the entrees they serve reflect the culture and nature of the island of Kyushu.
All right. Did you know it has a formal dress code?
Yeah. Everyone was like totally dressed up to go to dinner there.
I looked specifically at the dress code. You need a blazer at the very least, but you'd probably fit in better in a suit or even a tuxedo. The website specifically mentions tuxedos.
Yes. Which makes sense. It's so classy.
I feel like I've never been anywhere in my life where a tuxedo was a reasonable form of dress, you know?
Well, I've never worn a tuxedo.
Oddly enough, I know on the podcast before I mentioned that the only time I wore a tuxedo was in high school band.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, like, when would Jason have worn one? Band.
Yeah.
It's funny that they make you wear them for high school band.
It is. So let's talk about booking this thing.
Okay.
You're going to have to book it months in advance. Well, you don't even book it, right? You have to submit an application. They have to decide if you're good enough to be on this train.
Yeah.
And the cost? You got the numbers?
I mean, I saw a lot of numbers, but I wasn't always sure like how up to date they were.
I got numbers. I think these were directly from the website.
Okay.
A 2-day trip starts at 650,000 yen per person, and that's only if you're sharing a suite. You can get your own suite, which is more expensive.
Okay.
But if you're sharing a suite, that's a little over 4,000 US dollars right now with the exchange rate currently.
Okay.
The 4-day trip starts at 1.15 million yen, which is about 7,300 US dollars at the moment.
Oof.
And again, they start at those prices.
Yeah.
Those are the cheapest ones.
Yeah, there's like even more luxurious suites you can rent.
Right. And the exchange rate is better than it's been in decades. So it's a lot.
Yep. All right, so the next luxury cruise liner, I think is what we call these now, is the Shikishima, also referred to as the Train Suite Shikishima, and it is another exclusive, expensive railway that will provide passengers with exquisite service.
This one has 2-day, 3-day, and 4-day trips, and this one goes from Kyoto up to Tohoku and Hokkaido. Just really cool.
Yeah.
Explore a different part of the country.
Yep.
I thought the style of this train was really interesting. Like, it's also super, super fancy, but it doesn't look at all like the 7 stars. It's much more modern looking, don't you think?
Yeah. It was designed by a guy who has also done work for Ferrari, Maserati, and Porsche.
I feel like you, like, knowing that and looking at the train, you're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. It's kind of supposed to be a little bit of an East meets West theme.
Okay. I just thought of it, it's almost futuristic looking. Like, it's super modern, lots of white, lots of, like, interesting geometric shapes and stuff.
Yeah.
Straight lines. I don't know, just modern. Modern architecture, it reminded me of, you know?
Yeah. Did you see the observatory car?
Yes. That's specifically the one I was thinking of, with all the weird shaped windows and stuff.
Yeah. It's got grass-colored carpets in it, but it somehow works with the color scheme.
Mm-hmm. The suites that you can stay in are really impressive. There's one with that's actually two floors.
Yeah.
What? two-floor suite in a train? There's a suite with a fireplace. I saw one that has a special cypress bathtub.
Wow.
Like, it looks like an onsen thing, basically, but assume they don't bring in spring water to fill it with.
Oh, man.
So this is another train where you need to apply, and they're not even currently taking applications. So I didn't see the price on their website, but I saw other sources talking about it. It said it ranges from about $2,000 to $10,000.
Okay.
And the whole train only holds up to 34 passengers, so that's pretty exclusive.
Very. Next train of interest I've got is the Twilight Express Mizukaze. And this is another swanky train. Is that a weird word to use?
You can use that word. I don't mind.
The one thing I noticed is, like, all these trains are beautiful, but at least a couple of these cars, the wood paneling, I thought, was stunning. Mm. Just covering the entire interior made it look so classy.
Yeah. I saw, they say that this train has a nostalgic modern design inspired by Art Deco.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that kind of fits.
Mm-hmm. So this train runs through Western Japan. They say that their objective is to communicate the charms of West Japan. It goes in both directions between Kyoto and Shimonoseki, which is down at the western tip of Honshu. The cool thing is you can choose which coast you want to follow. So you can go through the Sanyo region along the southern coast by the, like, Seto Inland Sea, or you can choose the Sanin region, which goes along the northern coast. Each of the one-way trips is 2 days long, or you could also do a round trip and experience both of those routes on a 3-day round trip from Kyoto.
Nice.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
It brings you to the Tottori Sand Dunes, Paul.
Oh, hey, there we go.
If you're on the northern coast anyway, of course.
That's probably like the most expensive way we could possibly get there, but also the most luxurious.
Yeah, yeah. It brings you to a bunch of like historic places, museums, gardens. Like, they're really showing off what Western Japan has to offer, you know?
Yeah.
Paul, did you see that they have a suite that takes up an entire car? You can get an entire train car to yourself.
Yeah, that'd actually be a bit of space.
The bathroom alone is bigger than like pretty much any hotel room I've stayed in Japan.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's got a living room, a dining room, a private balcony, all in that one car.
That's awesome.
It's crazy.
The balcony.
On the website, you can see like the layout of this whole car. It's insane. It's insane. I almost just like wonder what types of people get that car to themselves. Like, I want to interview them and be like, what do you do? How much money do you make? Do you do this kind of thing like every week? How normal is this for you? you know?
I mean, it could be like someone splurging on their honeymoon or something. It's within range of what people spend on significant life events sometimes.
Yeah.
But then it'd be like a once in a lifetime thing for them.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if there are people that are just like really wealthy world travelers and they just do stuff like that all the time.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Did you see what they have for entertainment on the train?
Everything? I don't know.
They do a tea ceremony. You can participate in a tea ceremony on the train.
That's pretty cool.
They got live music. There's a bar. The lounge car looks really cool.
Yep.
Again, observation cars with massive windows. I think on both ends of the train, just kind of like the last one, Shikishima, right?
Right. I definitely don't want to say these are all similar, but there's certainly a lot of similarities.
There's certain features that they all have to incorporate.
They all have fine dining, great entertainment, high luxury, all that stuff.
Speaking of fine dining, I was looking into their food a bit.
Okay.
On their website, they have a page with a list of all of their chefs and profiles for each of them.
Yeah.
And each one of the chefs specializes in a certain style of cuisine. There's a guy that does traditional Kyoto cuisine. There's a guy that's trained in Italian cuisine. One of the chefs was selected as one of the top 100 chefs in the world, Paul.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. So this one's also pretty exclusive, of course. You can only buy tickets to the Mizukaze in Japan, and I saw prices ranging between $2,800 to $5,500. So comparable. You know, you're in the same ballpark as the other ones.
Yeah. So we got one more luxury cruise liner, but this one is a little different. So we're going to talk about the Royal Express, and it has a distinctive royal blue color with gold finishing, which I think is where it gets that Royal Express name from.
It looks pretty majestic, I'd say. And where does this one go?
This one starts in Yokohama, and it goes down into the Izu Peninsula and links a bunch of popular sightseeing locations down there, as that's pretty near Tokyo, and it's always been a popular getaway out of the city type spot.
I actually saw a few routes that this train does. And again, I'm not sure how consistent it is. Like, it feels like they kind of announce sometimes, like, oh, we're doing this new route in this new part of the country. You better get your tickets if you want to do that, you know? But it's like hard to tell what's kind of a repeating, consistent thing that they do, and what's like a limited time thing. But I saw that sometimes they go up to Hokkaido. Sometimes it's even in Shikoku.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, doing the thing, like, it goes past Mount Fuji and down into the Izu Peninsula. That seemed like maybe the one it does most often or something. Yeah.
And I thought part of why it's doing this is that's not an overnight trip. So this train can seat up to 100 passengers. You can do overnight trips with it, but you can also just take it straight on a luxury ride to the peninsula and get off there and stay on the peninsula.
Right. I saw a one-way trip. It's just about 5 hours for the whole trip, and it's much more affordable than the other ones we were talking about.
Yes.
I saw it starts at 40,000 yen per person, which is about $260 right now, anyway.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Like, if you wanted to get a ride on a luxury train, that'd be a much more affordable way to do it. And yeah, even if you did want to do one of the multi-day trips instead of the one-way five-hour thing, the thing that separates this train from all the other three that we were talking about is that you can't sleep on the train. They don't have rooms for you to sleep on the train. It actually stops at different hotels each night.
Okay, brings you to a hotel.
Yeah. So what do you think about how the inside looks?
Funny you should ask that. I was going to bring that up too. I didn't like it.
Really?
Like, the seats, it just didn't quite work for me. I don't like that style. It makes me think like 1980s LA city bus, but nicer. I mean, I think that maybe sounded really rude, but
I have to disagree with you. I think it looked pretty nice. Like, it didn't strike me as quite as luxurious as the other ones. I don't know. It looks like it's luxurious, but not quite as extreme as the other ones. That's the only way I can really describe it. It's got a lot of wood. It maybe looks a little bit dated, I guess.
I just didn't like the design of the seats mostly.
Yeah, the patterned upholstery.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get
it. But the rest
that
is nice.
Yeah.
It's got similar amenities in that it has a dining car, it has a bar.
It's got a piano.
Yeah, live music. There's a little children's play area that didn't look super impressive, honestly.
It has a library. I thought that's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
A library on a train.
If you have a five-hour ride, too, that's really cool.
I liked this part. The dining car is filled with traditional crafts that you can check out. That'd be fun to look at.
Nice.
And they have stained glass in the roof. Did you see that part?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like almost a skylight kind of thing with all these different colored little squares of glass and stuff.
That's nice.
It was cool. Yeah, they have live violin and piano music, I saw.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, probably the most affordable of these cruise trains. But if you wanted to do the multi-day thing, it's still kind of expensive. And it's also very popular. So you might have to hope that they pick you in a lottery, that kind of thing, if there are too many applications.
So that was the last of the luxury cruise trains. Were you going to ask me if I'm down to do one of these? Is that what you were getting at earlier?
Yeah, what do you think? Would you pay for one of these? And if so, which one would you choose?
I mean, I would lean towards I probably won't, but I wouldn't say that I wouldn't. You know, like, you know, I'd maybe do one of the cheaper. I could possibly spring like $2,000-$3,000 for a 2-day trip in one of the, in the cheapest cabin possible or whatever. The experience is part of what's sold. Like, the luxury of the train is awesome, but the experiences they arrange for you on all the stops and stuff seem absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Kyushu's always great, so the 7 stars kind of stands out, but they're all pretty cool. I don't know if I'd for sure pick one over the others. What about you?
If I was going to do one, it would have to be the 7 stars Kyushu.
Okay. Why is that?
Because I think it looks the coolest. It just feels the classiest to me. And I'm super interested in all of the excursions. And I just love how it looks. Like, I think it's the most expensive one, which gives me pause. But I wouldn't want to settle for a different one because that's the one I really want to go on, you know? But I also don't really feel like I would want to spend $4,000 on 2 days. That just seems a little too much.
Yeah, it is. Like, if it was my whole trip, it'd be an easier sell.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if it were just like a couple more days, you know?
I just don't love luxury enough to pay that price tag.
Right, right. Maybe if I'm ever old and rich, maybe I'll do it someday.
Yeah, right.
If this podcast really takes off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's time to move on to sightseeing trains.
Yeah, and again, I was just kind of shocked at how many of these there are. Like, you could zero in on any part of the country, and you'll find multiple options.
Yeah, but I guess it's not too surprising when you think about how beautiful the Japanese landscape is.
Yeah.
Because there is a mixed bag here. It almost seemed like some of these were probably still running, like, just to be sightseeing trains, but some of them are like legitimate normal train routes that happen to have incredible scenery along the way as well.
Right. And the good news about these is that they're all pretty, like, I mean, super affordable. Like, most of them, I feel like, are just kind of normal train fares. Like, you're not really paying a premium for most of these.
Exactly. So we both just randomly picked ones that we thought were cool. So we're going to kind of do an every other thing.
Yeah.
Do you want the honors today, Jason, or should I?
Thank you, Paul. That's so sweet of you to offer. I'm going to take you up on that.
All right. What do you got for us?
Well, I'm going to be a little greedy because I want to mention one at the very beginning, but I don't want to use my turn for it. How about that?
What? You're double dipping.
Please. You'll like it. I promise. It'll be really quick, too, the first
one. So you're going to mention it? Does that mean I can't go back to it?
Well, I kind of doubt that you have this because I don't. I guess the reason I wanted to just sneak this in here is because it doesn't really feel like a sightseeing train anyway.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to mention the Tokaido Shinkansen because it passes Mount Fuji, and like, it's not a dedicated sightseeing train or anything, but you can get some amazing views of the mountain on that train. Yep.
I had that and one other in an honorable mention at the end.
Okay.
So you're right. Honorable mention, if it's a clear day, it's actually a pretty good view of Mount Fuji
It is.
From the Tokaido, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, definitely try to get a seat on the side of the train that's facing the mountain if you're taking the train between Tokyo and Kyoto or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, so the first actual sightseeing train I wanted to talk about is on the Kintetsu Railway. They run a train called the Sightseeing Limited Express Aoniyoshi, which connects Osaka, Nara, and Kyoto, and it looks really cool. Did you have this on your list?
No.
Oh, nice. Let me tell you about it. So the train itself is purple. It's got these flowery designs on the sides, and the interior is super cool. This train is ideal for couples. It looks like super romantic because you walk in there and on either side, there are like these, there are pairs of green chairs. They look really comfy. Like they're not normal train chairs. They're like, you know, they got long, tall backs and stuff. And each pair of seats is kind of angled towards each other, but also looking out a big window. It's like you get your own window and there's a little table between you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like it's clearly made for sightseeing. Like that's why people take this. And it's got a little cafe where they sell snacks and desserts and drinks. They even have alcoholic drinks there. I think there's like a special beer that they sell on this train and only on this train.
Ooh.
And the price is amazing. It starts at just under $10. If you go solo, you have to buy both seats because, you know, it'd be really weird to have like a romantic ride with a stranger where you're kind of like facing each other, sharing a table and stuff. But I read a review where somebody did that. They got both seats to themselves and it still only cost them $12.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Sounds fun. And yeah. Like, I mean, you know, everybody, I don't know why we didn't hear about that or do that because going between Osaka, Nara, and Kyoto, we've done that so many times, you know?
Yeah, right. Hmm.
What do you got, Paul?
All right, first one I got is the Kurobe Gorge Railway. So this is about a 12.5-mile stretch of railway that crosses the Kurobe Gorge. It's one of the deepest gorges in Japan, and it's located deep inside the Japanese Alps, right at the heart of Honshu. It was originally built in the 1950s to help with construction of a nearby dam. But I think they kind of left it in place as a sightseeing train because they realized what a spectacular ride it was. It's about an 80-minute ride, and you get views of the river, of the forested hills, of the gorge itself. You cross over 20 bridges and go through about 40 tunnels along the way. It does not operate in the winter, though. Spring through fall. So you can see the sakura and you can see the autumn foliage, but it doesn't run when the deep snow is out.
I'm not sure you can see the sakura even. I saw that it opens in late April, which might be a little late.
It is up in the mountains, though, so maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah. Also, there are some open-sided carriages. So depending on when you're going, you might want to bring a jacket or appropriate clothing so you can fully enjoy.
Not to mention a camera. There's not even any glass between you and those amazing mountains and the fall colors.
Yeah.
It does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, it
does. I also saw that you can stop at stations along the way, get out and do some hiking, maybe stop at a hot spring.
Yep, got to make it a day.
Yeah, it seems awesome.
What do you got next for us, Jason?
I got another option if you're traveling between Kyoto and Osaka. Did you hear about the Kyo Train Garaku?
No, I don't have
that. Oh, man. I'm so lucky. I get to tell you all about these and surprise you. So, okay, if you're visiting Kyoto, you're probably taking in the traditional feel of the old parts of the city, right? Well, this train can help you retain that feeling because the inside of it is just super traditional. Like, it looks like a really fancy old traditional home. Or even a temple, maybe. It kind of reminded me of the Imperial Villa in Nikko, you know, with those round windows, the tatami mats and everything. So there are 6 cars on this train. And each one has a specific theme. It's based on a season and a plant.
Okay.
So car 1 is the autumn season with the red maple leaf motif everywhere. Car 2 is the winter season with bamboo. And there's actually a little landscape garden in there with bamboo. And it's got shoji screens specifically designed for viewing the snow out the window. Car 3 is the spring car with a cherry blossom theme. You get the idea.
Yeah.
But maybe you wonder, why are there 6 cars? There aren't 6 seasons, right? There's one that's early autumn and one that's early spring.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. It looks really cool. And all of the seats are unreserved. So you can just like wander through the whole train and look at everything.
Nice.
Yeah. It only runs on weekends and holidays between Kyoto, Kawaramachi Station and Osaka Umeda Stations. And it's super cheap. It's just like normal train fare, but it just looks amazing inside.
Nice.
Yeah.
The next one I got is the Sagano Scenic Railway. So this one starts in one of my favorite places, Arashiyama in Kyoto. And it heads towards the town of Kameoka. It's only about a 25-minute one-way ride, so it's not that long.
It's 7 kilometers or 4.35 miles.
Oh, hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
It kind of snakes through the mountains that are on the border of the city. So you get these really amazing views of all these wooded hills, mountains, and ravines. The train's also retro style. Think old wooden benches, because apparently this line has been running for over 100 years.
This train debuted in 1899.
Wow, that's so long ago.
Yeah.
That's like one of the early trains in Japan. There's a fully open cabin and other cabins where you can open the windows so you can get direct views of the scenery as well. Absolutely stunning in fall, of course. And the line closes for winter as well. December through February, it is closed. And tickets are only about $6. So for that short of a ride, if you're in Arashiyama, like, I wish I kind of knew about that while we were there.
Definitely. It seems really popular, though. I saw that you want to book it in advance if you want to do that. You didn't mention the river, did you?
No.
It's kind of following along the Hosugawa River. So it's like you get the river, you get the mountains. It just looks like amazing views. I thought it was a little weird that it like seems to only run in one direction away from Kyoto, right? Like you can't take it the opposite direction, I believe.
Oh, I didn't see that. So how the heck do you get back?
So I saw once you get to Kameoka, you could just take a normal train to get back to Kyoto, or you can actually get a river cruise back to Arashiyama.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? Man, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then you could see the next train, you know, coming along wave, as you're going down the river. Paul, I want to talk about the Pokemon with you train.
Okay.
Did you hear about this one?
Yeah, but I quickly scrolled past it.
You don't know what you're missing. I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly what you're missing.
Let me know.
So essentially, this is a Pikachu train. The train looks like Pikachu. It's got the big red cheeks. The rest of it is all yellow. It's got the brown accents, kind of like Pikachu's stripes and stuff. And it's got like 100 pictures of Pikachu on the sides of the train as well. But even the interior of this train is Pikachu themed. And I'm not talking about like, oh, they threw on some Pikachu seat covers or anything. I'm talking about every single inch of the interior of this train is Pikachu themed. It's amazing. So there are two cars. One car has seating. And the other one is a playroom car where kids can pretend to be the conductor. There's this giant Pikachu in the middle that seems like they can climb around on. There's a bunch of interactive stuff to play with. And kids even get a souvenir notebook and a commemorative boarding pass. Like, it's all about the kids and their experience.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But do you know why it's all about the kids?
To help them recover from the aftermath of the big earthquake.
Okay, so you did read a little bit about it.
Yeah, then I scrolled past.
Okay. Well, yeah, so this train has a few routes that all go through different parts of the Tohoku region. It mostly just runs on weekends and holidays. It started running in 2012 because 2012 was right after the 2011 earthquake and tsunami that devastated the region. So this train was actually created specifically to, quote, bring smiles to the faces of children in the region devastated by the Tohoku earthquake and tsunami of 2011, and to encourage children across Japan to enjoy a trip to Tohoku, end quote. I just thought that's cool. That's a cool idea to like set up this whole train line just to kind of give kids some hope and a fun experience and like try to get them, you know, back to a sense of normalcy, right? I mean, so many people were displaced. After that, there were people living in temporary housing for years and years.
Yep.
So I just thought this was a really sweet idea.
It is.
And it looks like a lot of the stations that it stops at also have Pokemon displays. So, I don't know. If you have a kid that likes Pokemon, it seems like a fun place. But on top of that, Tohoku is a beautiful region of Japan. Absolutely. Lots of natural scenery. And from what I saw, the routes that the trains take are all through like very green areas, you know? Lots of beautiful scenery for the adults while the kids are looking at the Pikachus or something.
Sure, sure.
What do you got next, Paul?
I want to talk about the Hisatsu Line. This is in Kyushu, and it connects the Yatsushiro Station in Kumamoto and Hayato Station in Kagoshima Prefecture. It's a longer one. It's 124.2 kilometers.
How many miles is that?
Let me know.
I didn't see this one.
I
kilometers mean nothing to me. I don't know. Is that
you? That's your American problem.
All right.
It goes over the Kuma River. So what caught my eye about this is that you get river scenery, and then you get mountain scenery, you get forest scenery. As it kind of goes along the landscape, you just get all the different amazing scenery of Kyushu.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. What do you got next, Jason?
I really hope you didn't hear about this one, because this one's crazy.
Okay.
And if you haven't heard about it, it's going to blow your mind.
All right, blow my mind.
In North Tohoku, in Iwate Prefecture, only in the winter, is this ringing any bells?
Nope.
Oh, good. There's a train operated by Sanriku Railway where all of the seats are Kotatsu seats.
Oh, I briefly heard about it, but I didn't dig up any information.
All right. Well, for any listeners who aren't familiar with the Kotatsu, do you want to describe it, Paul?
Think coffee table that you sit at that has a blanket draped over it, and there's a little heater under the table, and all the heat stays in because of the blanket, and you stay nice and cozy warm.
Yeah. Blanket's real thick, so it's like holding in all that, all the warmth. So imagine hanging out with your friends under one of these heated tables, drinking sake and eating bento, all while you're on a train looking out at the snow-covered scenery of Tohoku. Doesn't that sound amazing?
It does.
Oh, man. There's even a local kami named Mamomi who makes an appearance and entertains passengers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw a picture. He kind of reminded me of the Namahage. He's got, like, the straw kind of, I don't know, cloak sort of thing, and then he's got, like, the red mask. It looks a little bit like an oni or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. I don't know.
That does seem
fun. I just like the novelty of that. Like, yes, I had no idea that there were trains with Kotatsu on them.
Might be the only one.
Probably.
All right. So I got one just for you, Jason.
Oh?
Hakone Tozan Line.
Okay. I think I might have heard about this because, yeah, I still haven't planned out my my couple days in Hakone for this fall.
So this is a short 15-kilometer train ride from Odawara Station to Gora Station, with the second half being noted as the particularly beautiful part of the ride. And that's kind of the way you're going to get to Hakone anyways, so right. I don't think this is going to add very much time to any itinerary.
Yeah.
But you go through thick forested valleys and mountains, and there's really colorful flowers that line the tracks, especially between June and July.
Nice.
So the cedar is supposed to be great, and even better in summer when you see all the wild flowers.
That would be cool.
So yeah, I liked this one because it's like very practical.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people could use that.
Yeah. Do you see how busy it is? Like, is it hard to get tickets?
I didn't say anything warning about that.
Well, I'll miss the wildflowers, but I bet the fall colors are pretty cool, too.
Yes.
I should be there right in time for that.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
You still got some? You haven't overlapped with mine at all yet, which
I have.
Slightly surprised me. Maybe mine have overlapped with you, but yours haven't overlapped with mine.
Gotcha, yeah. Yeah, the other ones I had were the Kurobe Gorge Railway, the Sagano Scenic Railway. You already talked about those, so I'm all out.
Oh, okay. So I got another Fuji one. The Fujisan View Express, which is a 45-minute ride near the base of Mount Fuji. The views are supposed to be second to none. And also of note is that you can enjoy sweets made by a professional patisserie chef while you're sightseeing on this train.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that sounds like a really enjoyable 45-minute ride.
Definitely.
Next one I got, I think you would love, because I know you've talked about going to this place for a while. The Furano Bie Noroko train.
I did read a little bit about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it runs from Asahikawa to Furano in Hokkaido.
Yeah.
And Furano is the area that has all the lavender fields in summer. So the train rolls past the fields. It rolls past all these hills. Supposed to be absolutely gorgeous in summer.
Yeah.
And they roll down the windows sometimes, so you get like a nice Hokkaido breeze. Maybe not in the middle of summer, though.
We'll definitely have to bookmark that for our summer Hokkaido trip, though. We need to make it there and see those flower fields.
Yeah, right. If we go in summer, we're definitely going to see those flower fields. So I imagine we'll be on that train.
Yeah.
Speaking of being on a train, I've got one for us. The Takayama Main Line is supposed to be absolutely gorgeous. And this one connects Gifu, which is very near Nagoya, with Takayama and then Toyama. So that's exactly the route we're planning to go. Although I think we were talking about maybe a bus, but we might want to try taking this train instead.
I thought I looked at that and it seemed like it didn't really make sense. Like we'd have to go really far out of our way to get on that train. I'll have to look into it again.
The math I got is that maybe it would take us an hour longer.
Okay.
If we did this train versus just like taking the quickest bus.
Does the train itself look cool or is it just about the views?
It's just about the views because it rides in between the valleys of the big mountains and you get to see all the rivers that flow down in. So kind of like as we're heading into the Alps, we're going to get to like experience the view first on the train.
Yeah.
And kind of get awed if we take this route.
Where in Gifu Prefecture does it start?
It starts in Gifu City, I believe, which is just outside Nagoya.
Okay. Oh, man. Now that I'm looking at the map, did you realize that Monet's Pond is just north of Gifu City, too?
No. Is that the recreated Monet Garden?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Got the bridge and everything.
Oh, we're so packed on that part of the itinerary, though.
I know. I'm already worried about Matsumoto. I don't know if we're going to fit everything in. I reworked that part of the itinerary, but... Oh, man. Oh, well. Guess we got to go back to Japan again.
Yeah, we'll have to. So that was all my main ones. I had one more honorable mention, and that was the Chiba Monorail.
Yes, I did see that.
The longest running monorail in the world. Kind of that suspended thing. Get a really cool view of Chiba, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of skipped over that one because I'm not so interested in city views, I guess. But
sure. Yeah.
That does seem cool, though. I'll have to make it over to Chiba someday.
Right. Me too. Well, that's all I got for trains today.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah. How many episodes have we done on trains now?
I don't know. We did a transportation episode. We did a Shinkansen episode. We did a train stations episode.
Yeah, and now we did this one. So at least four.
At least four.
Okay. Rightfully so, though. Trains are awesome.
And they're a big part of Japan. A ton of them in Japan,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the great topic suggestion.
Yes, thank you.
I may not have looked into this for a while or something otherwise, so I'm glad I dove in and now I kind of want to do these.
Yeah. This is a really fun topic because it was one that really surprised me. Like, I really didn't know what we were getting into when we started the research on this.
Yeah. You don't have to dig very deep. Like, you could just be like, sightseeing trains in Japan, and you just get list and list and list of them thrown at you. Yeah. It was almost hard to sort through to, like, find which ones I should cover.
Yeah, I read through probably like 30 of them to find the specific ones I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a challenge just because a lot of them are like, oh, this brings you through this beautiful area. And that's kind of all the information. Like, yeah. Okay.
I did feel like I was getting a little bit, and you go through valleys and mountains and rivers. Right. Like, well, all this stuff is stunning, but there's like 100 trains that do that in Japan.
Right. Well, I would say if you're interested in taking any sightseeing trains, Google them.
Great advice.
And, you know, I feel like it's just a different way of traveling through Japan, because I always thought of trains as like just a way to get really quickly from one place to another. But like if you have the space in your itinerary to take things a little bit slower and really enjoy the travel time, more sightseeing trains, the better, I'd say, you know?
Absolutely.
Well, before we go, I want to mention our upcoming meetup this fall in Tokyo. We're going to be at Commune, which is a bar on the rooftop of the Shibuya Parco Shopping Mall. That's at 7 p.m. on November 6th, 2024. I'm putting those details in the show notes for this episode, and we also talked about it in our recent announcements and current events episode. Also should mention our Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes or on our website, sightseeingjapanpodcast.com. We just started selling itineraries there not super long ago, so if you're going to Japan, be sure to check those out. You don't even need to be a member on Patreon to buy those, but we would appreciate it if you were a member. Speaking of which, a huge thank you to all of our patrons, especially our Shogun-level patrons, Wesley C., Nicholas McKibben, Kevin Harris, Brady K., Jack, Michael Morris, David Imani, Darwin Perrier, Ethan Teague, Yasmin, Jason, Katerina and Ellery, Susan, Victoria, and Shuckhead Rosenthal. Thank you all so much.
Yes, thank you. And now I'm kicking myself. I forgot to go look up, but whichever patron it was that suggested this as a topic, thank you. Great idea.
I believe it was a Kevin Harris idea.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. You know what else we love is reviews. If you don't feel like joining the Patreon, we still want to contribute. A review would be awesome. You know, I really like the 5-star ones.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite ones.
Yeah. I can see that.
Every bit counts. It is a nice little treat when I see a really thoughtful one.
Sure is.
Yeah. Anything else, Paul? Oh, wait. What's next time? That's what I'm supposed to ask you, right?
Yes. Next time is slightly more complicated than normal. Because Jason's taking a vacation.
I am.
Well-deserved vacation.
Thank you, Paul.
So to save us a little bit of research time, because Jason's not going to be in town to research, the next episode will be a folklore episode. And then after that, we will get back to the regularly scheduled season episodes. And if you're curious, that will be reality TV and game shows in Japan. Which should be really fun.
Definitely. I've been excited about that one for a long time, and I know a lot of listeners have as well. And I'm hoping, since I don't need to do as much research for the folktale one, I can spend a little extra time on this one, because I feel like this is going to be a big one. This is a big topic.
There's a lot of places to go with this one.
Yes. It's going to be really fun. All Absolutely. The prank shows and like the kind of contest shows, like Takeshi's Castle, we'll talk about that.
I love the prank shows.
Yeah.
They're good pranks that like aren't as mean. I hate the mean pranks.
Yeah.
Like, the pranks that make people like, what the heck was that? Those are funny, you know?
Yeah. And they're like extremely elaborate sometimes, you know? They'll like build an entire room just to like trick somebody, things like that.
Yeah. I think I remember seeing maybe on Instagram a clip where a guy gets in an outhouse. And they literally like move a building to like cover the entrance. So when he walks out of the outhouse, he's in a board meeting.
Yeah.
And a bunch of guys in suits are sitting around the table. They all look at him like,
yeah,
that'd be so confusing.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that video. That is funny. I have this one that I remember from years ago where this guy is just like sitting in a comfy like Lazy Boy chair. And then all of a sudden the walls fall away and he just shoots down this ski hill.
I've seen
like there are skis under this chair. So yeah, that'll be a fun topic. Well, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.